Hello, dear brethren, happy Sabbath. We all thank Elohim for seeing us through the last seventh day, the last Sabbath. He saw us through these 6 days, and we're here again. And truly, we give him thanks, because we know there are many who are there that are not alive this Sabbath. So many things have happened. The world is in turmoil. Here in New York, the mayor made an announcement about what to do in case of a nuclear attack. And as I was contemplating this whole matter with the developments that happened a few weeks ago regarding the protecting the not yet born children, how, as I said, Elohim has by his spirit caused the law to do these things, and to, as if to give the United States an olive branch, a chance to redeem itself, a chance to stand for righteousness. Some have and some have not. And New York City, one of those that have really chosen to oppose soundness of mind and goodness and mercy. And I saw that how the West Coast, because of its behavior, because of its unrighteousness, suffers a lot of consequences, the fires and all of these things that happen in the West. But the East side of the United States is also doing great evils as well, standing up for evils. And so we need to be on watch, those of us that are in New York, so we can know what it is we need to do. If we need to get up and leave, we will know and not be caught off guard, because Elohim is Elohim and he doesn't change. And when nations do evil things instead of righteousness, when he gives a group of people, like we may call ourselves the United States, but Elohim sees things as he sees them, and what he sees is what is right. So he sees a group of people here in New York, the government in New York, not standing for righteousness. It's not that hard to understand that an unborn child is innocent, totally has no defense, no voice, is alive. I was looking at the statistics a little bit as regarding abortion, and I was seeing how every year approximately a million are killed, and out of the million, only about approximately 40,000 were because of things such as violence. 40,000 out of a million has to do with violence against a woman. So you think about the 960 or so thousand that are killed. It's a terrible thing. So it's not that hard for a nation, for a city or state to know what to stand for. If people will make the decision to do their own evil, let them, that's on their head, but don't push laws to insist that more and more millions of children, not yet born children, should be butchered. And again, as I've mentioned last time, we sympathize for those who felt they had no choice but to make that decision. But some people have choices. They're just careless. They just don't care. And it looks like most of the children that are being killed just because the one or so parent just didn't want the child, not for any substantial reason. So the point is, there are these great evils. Elohim will not be silent about these things. So be prayerful, be watchful as to what will be happening in New York. When you hear a high ranking official like the mayor begin to say things like, what should you do in case of a nuclear attack? It's not something we should take lightly. I remember a few years ago, before Tropical Storm Sandy struck New York, there were signs, what should you do in case of a hurricane, in natural disasters. We used to see that. And eventually we had a natural disaster, right? So we need to be very careful and prayerful these days. It's never time to play religion, but especially now with these grievous times, brethren, we need to make sure that we're watching, we're praying, we're living right, so we could have the fellowship of the Spirit to guide us to know what we should do. So let's continue with the book of Acts. We finished Acts chapter 13 last Sabbath, verses 1, and finally finished last Sabbath with verse 52. We saw how they went to Antioch and there were prophets there, and the Spirit told the group there to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that he called them to do. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, did that. Separate Barnabas and Saul, that was in verse 2 of chapter 13. The Spirit said Paul and Barnabas, but they decided to take John with them as well, as seen in verse 5. And they had also John to their minister. John was there with them. And so they went to an isle called Paphos, and there they presented the gospel, I should say, through the deputy that's there so that the message could spread throughout all that land. The Spirit conquered a magician that was there by the name of Bar Jesus, the son of salvation, or Elimas, the sorcerer. He was defeated by the Spirit, made blind by Paul for a season. But in verse 13, we see that John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. John did not agree to continue with them. But keep in mind that the Spirit had selected Paul and Barnabas and Paul to do the work, did not mention John. John was their choice. But we see what happens here in verse 13, John left. So that shows us that sometimes we need to be careful because we're not automatons. Elohim is not going to control us in every way. We need to learn to be circumspect. When Elohim says two, he means two. It may seem good in our sight to do three or four, but when he says two, he means two. If he says 10, he means 10. If he says 1,000, it's 1,000. If he says only 300, it's only 300. As we've seen this matter of numbers in the scriptures, he's very specific. He doesn't want more or less than what he asked for. He wanted 12 apostles. He did not want 11. He did not want 13. He did not want 14. He wanted 12 apostles in Jerusalem. Any other apostles, such as Paul, would have to work outside for the nations. So he did this. Then they taught the whole history of the people of the servants of Elohim, all the way down to David, all the way down to show how Messiah came to be the ruler and savior of men. Verse 23, of this man's seed hath Elohim according to his promise raised unto Israel a savior, Yeshua. So they gave that whole history to the Jews and Gentiles that were there. But eventually they were rejected and they left and went to other locations in that era. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. So they were telling the people that Yeshua was the Savior. And many of the Jews believe, many of the Gentiles believe, as we saw later on in that verses 44 through 52. But then some of the Jews who did not believe arranged to have them expel by prominent women, prominent leaders of that area, to feel threatened, to make them feel threatened by the work of Paul and Barnabas. And so they expel them from the land. So first, the unbelieving Jews of that region rejected them. And being rejected, Paul and Barnabas shook the dust of their sandals against them. And then finally, the Gentile leaders of that region rejected them. And so we see in verse 51, they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's a lot of turmoil, but the work of Elohim always accomplishes its purpose. The word of Elohim accomplishes the work. The end result is the disciples in Iconium were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, they were filled with that. What a blessing, what a gift. To have joy, to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, where you have the fellowship of the Spirit. Whatever you ask, you receive. If you're sick, you're healed. When it says that, that's what it's talking about. We're filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So let's continue with chapter 14. And in chapter 14 it says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the eternal, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostle. And when there was an assault made both of Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth around, that surrounds there. And there they preach the gospel, the good news. Verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he had said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Let's go back to and we'll continue if time permits. Okay? So we saw that the apostles, according to chapter 13, they were expelled from the city they were in. But then they went to Iconium. They didn't give up. And where did they go? They went to the synagogue. Again, I know you've heard me say this over and over, but notice in chapter 13, right? Verse 46 says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you, speaking to the Jews in that region. But seeing you, put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And again, there are some that would teach you that the apostles abandoned the Jews. And I said, no, that's not the case. It's contextual. They abandoned the unbelieving Jews in that region, not just because they were unbelieving, but because they rejected the apostle, right? So here we find proof that they did not abandon the Israelites entirely, is I hear they went into a synagogue of the Jews in Iconium, another location. So the first place they went to was the synagogue of the Jews. And they so spake, they spoke in such a way, they said such words that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. So they spoke in such a way. We don't have record of what was said, but whatever was said covered everything they needed to hear. Both Jews and Greeks. So a great number, not a few believe, not a few. So we know that this is a synagogue. So most, if not all the people there understood the Torah. So they heard the gospel in such a way by the power of the Spirit working through the apostles that many believe. So, but what happened? The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. They did not put their hands to it themselves, but they worked through the unbelieving Gentiles and made their minds evil. So they gave them false ideas, blasphemous ideas, so that they would in turn turn against the brethren. They turn against the disciples. They turn against the apostles. Not the believing Gentiles, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the other Gentiles. So as a result, it says in verse 3 that they spent a long time there because their work wasn't finished. Because the teachings of the false Jews were corrupting the work that they had done. At least they were attempting to corrupt the work that the Messiah did there through the apostle. It made their minds evil, similar to what Satan did, the serpent did to Eve in the garden. Will you surely die? So the adversary made the mind change, all the mind of Eve, so that she would think evil of the words of Elohim, to create confusion in her mind so that to cause her to fall. Likewise, these are applying the same method. Let's make them think evil of these apostles, evil of these believing Jews and believing Gentiles. Let's make them despise them. So the work of the apostles was cut out for them here. So they spent a long time there speaking boldly and in the eternal, not in themselves, not in their own understanding, but in the eternal. They were in him. Remember Messiah's prayer? I pray that they may be in, that they may be one in us, even as we are one. So they were in him. We must make sure we are literally in him, not jangling about different ideas and words, but having fellowship with him so that he will really be with us and in us. And because that was their state, they were in the eternal, he gave testimony unto the word of his grace. How did he, what's the testimony? He granted signs and wonders. So remember, we mentioned in the past how Elohim, the Spirit of Elohim, will bear witness to us. That's what it means. When Elohim bears witness for us, he manifest with signs and wonders. That's it. That's what he does. It's not something else. Some people want you to think, oh, it's something else. No, it's signs and wonders. He does things that so that everyone will be convinced that Elohim is involved, not just man. It's not man's clever teaching, how well they speak, how well, how articulate they are. No, it's the power of the Spirit in the person's life, demonstrated by signs and wonders. And you can see those, what those signs and wonders are in John, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and through 14. So signs and wonders were done by their hands. So now, as a result, they were not just the city was divided. The multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, that's the unbelieving Jews, and part held with the apostles. So some Gentiles and Jews believe the unbelieving Jews. Some Gentiles and Jews, other Gentiles and Jews believe the apostles, but a greater number than before. So it's like divided almost in half, so to say. And so when that happened, the enemy, what did they do? Now they attacked the disciples. They wanted to attack them. They wanted to they wanted to do harm to them. The word, they wanted to abuse them. They wanted to assault and abuse them and to stone them. Three things. They wanted to assault them. They didn't just want to kill them immediately. I want you to understand. That's what it says here. And verse 5, and there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully. So they wanted to abuse them, torture them, shame them, and then they wanted to stone them. That's what they wanted. They wanted a spectacle, put them to shame, and put them to death by stoning them. But they were made aware of it. The Spirit, by one way or another, made them aware of it. And so they left, went to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, in that region, in the surrounding region. And what did they do? They went and hide. No, they preached the gospel. What is preaching the gospel? The preaching the gospel is speaking. No one can know, like one of our sisters mentioned last week, which is true, we need to have the proper lifestyle. People must see that we are different by the working of the Spirit in us. We must live in such a way that people can see we are different. So that's part of it. And we also need to preach the gospel, because people are not going to know about Messiah unless you tell them. Somewhere in Paul, in Romans, says, how shall they know unless someone preaches? So lifestyle is important, is key, must be. No one should be preaching unless they live the life. No one should be preaching unless some people can see that, wow, this person is really different. This person is really set apart. This person is really virtuous. People must see that in us, all of us. Have that. Also, Romans says that is our reasonable service, that we present ourselves as holy, unblameable to the eternal. That's all of our reasonable service, whether we preach or not. But the congregation of Elohim must also have preachers. And so they preach the gospel. And let's try to end here. And as they were preaching, there was a man in Lystra. He was lame, impotent in his feet, never walked all his life. The same heard Paul speak, who steadily beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul's, if you notice how Paul had this attention, remember how he fixed his gaze on the magician in chapter 13? He's very perceptive. He has this, the Elohim has given him a spirit of discernment that he can tell just by looking. Just as he looked at that evil man in chapter 13 and made him blind by the Spirit, here he was gazing also at this man, and he perceived by the Spirit that he had faith. He had the right understanding of things to be healed. He was worthy, in a sense, to be healed. not in of himself, but because he had the right faith, having heard Paul. So Paul said to him, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Amen. So I stop here today with this message. So we see how, again, the disciples, through persecution, they left one place, went to another place. The Spirit bore witness to them. They were in Elohim, not just talking about him, not just reading book scripture. They were in him. This is the new covenant where the Spirit of Elohim is in all around. They are baptized by their Spirit. The Spirit is in them. The Spirit is all around them. They're living obediently, not by law, but by faith. Law is control. Law is you're doing it out of fear, out of bit and bridle, as if that you would put in a horse's mouth to be turned here, turned there. Don't do this or you'll be killed. Don't do this or you'll be stoned, whatever it is. No, now we don't do it because we love Elohim. We don't do it because we know it's right. We don't do it because it's wonderful. So that's the mindset. That's what the Spirit does for us. We don't need to be told we're going to be stoned. We keep the Sabbath because the Sabbath is wonderful. It honors our Elohim. We love Elohim, our Creator. And so there's nothing more we want to do on the seventh day than to rest on His holy Sabbath. Not because we're afraid of being stoned, but because we love Him. And we know that's what He wants to do. So that's what it means to be. That's one of the differences, the new covenant, old covenant. We're not led by bit and bridle like horses that need to be told, turn left, turn right. We're to be in the Spirit. So they were in the Spirit, and the Spirit, loving them, bore witness to them. The Spirit was not ashamed. Yeshua was not ashamed to declare, these are my servants. Look what I'm going to do on their behalf. Boom, signs and wonders. And then when they were going to be killed, he did not allow that. He let them know, and they left, and they preached more, and they heal this man who, having heard Paul, was not confused, because Paul was speaking by the Spirit. And so as a result, this man developed faith, right understanding. He knows, he sees the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of hope for. Through Paul, he gained that. And so he was ready to be healed. Are we ready to be healed? If we're not, it's never too late. Let's learn to have faith. Let's learn to walk in Elohim, to be in him, not just about him, and let him be in us so that whatever we pray for will happen. Have we not heard that we've heard testimony not too long ago of a child who couldn't speak, one of our sisters praying and working with this child, the child spoke. Yes, Elohim is, if I understood the testimony correctly, the person who couldn't speak, through the working of a Messiah, through one of our sisters, the child spoke. And other things that have happened in the past, people being in comas that were raised before prayer could be finished. People who were sick, who hands were laid on them. And I'm speaking things that were done by us, people among us here that are on this line, laying hands on people and they were healed instantly. Not a long time, not by pills, not by doctors. These are things that have happened through some of us that are on this line right now. So let's continue. Let's be encouraged. He will do that through all of us if we're careful to be circumspect, if we're careful to live by the new covenant. Let the Spirit be in us. Let the Spirit be all around us. Thank you, dear brethren, in Messiah's name. Amen.